verse 34 through to verse 36. Having been brought to where Lazarus lay, our eye now falls upon the shortest verse in the English Bible. Jesus wept. The Bible, we know, is a book of books. In each book we have chapters of immeasurable wealth and riches to our soul. And yet, could there be any verse so short and so profound as John 11, verse 35? Jesus wept in two words, there are two worlds that converge together. You see that? Jesus, and all that he is, wept, and all that that meant. This man, the God-man, the Saviour, the resurrection, and he cried. There are, I believe, three times in the Bible that we record, at least what we know of, instances where the Lord Jesus cried and wept. We know in Luke 19, verse 41, he wept over Jerusalem because of its sin and its impenitence and its impending doom. He weeps over a city and its people. We are clearly aware of that in that portion. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we know that he wept because Hebrews 5:7 tells us, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard, and that he feared. Our Lord Jesus Christ wept over the sin of people. The Lord Jesus wept over the anticipation of the cross, the punishment for sin. But here he weeps over the consequences of sin, the result of sin, death, decay, and ruin. And our Lord, who had come to deal with sin, wept over this scene of life and time. And he wept because he loved. He wept because he cared. And the observation was made how he loved him. He wept. The idea of weeping for a man at times sometimes is construed or thought to be unmanly. You don't cry if you're a man. That's what you don't do. I think maybe as times have changed, that's maybe slightly changed in our generation. Of course, we know there are always extremes. Inordinate grief. There is such a thing as excessive grief. And everyone has to be aware of that. We might use an expression of crocodile tears or contrived emotions or simply crying for attention. Never surprises me with the little ones how tears can be switched on in just a moment. It can be just one moment to another, and then just with one word, they can go as quickly as they came. So it says a lot sometimes about our nature, and it's a relationship to our tears. But there's no deception, is there, with the weeping of Christ? There's no drama with the weeping of Christ. There's no pretense. There's nothing that Christ is trying to manipulate with by his tears. People have been manipulated by tears. They've been lied to by tears. But not so with our Lord. Not one drop fell from his face. There was not a drop of perfection itself. And if you want evidence of true humanity, where will you see it? You'll see it when someone sleeps. People are truly human when they sleep. It shows how weak they are. People are truly human when they're so hungry and thirsty that they can't go on. They must feed and they must drink to satisfy themselves. But ask you a question, where will you see humanity in its most lowly, humble form when a person cries? It's not a nice thing. You sit with someone and they weep. If you're anything resembling a sensitive heart, you begin to weep with them. Because it's hard to stay in someone's company when a tear begins to fall. No one ever wept like him. And never in one drop of our Saviour's grief was there anything that resembled sin. And neither was there a worry. It was not a weeping of unbelief or a weeping of fear or a weeping of despair. It was a weeping of one that was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I may say there were tears of perfection that fell down his human face. And my friend, of all the practical truths that you'll ever glean, you are the Lord's, it's this. Our God is touched by the feelings and the infirmities of all of his people. It's not the reason why I would ever say a person should become a Christian. You know, be a Christian because then one will understand you. That would be the wrong thinking. We must be reconciled to a holy God and realize that if we are not, we shall weep for eternity in conscious torment and misery. But once someone is in Christ, what a message to give to them. What discipleship. You're not alone. You may fear alone, and you may weep alone, and you may grieve alone, and you may bereave alone, and you may be troubled alone, but never are you alone. Because here is one that has wept for his people. He weeps because he's a high priest. He's a perfect man. He is the God-man. And he is touched by all of our infirmities.